The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Let's say good morning to our neighbors to the left and to the right again. And we thank God for the privilege of His Word. So today we will press in further in our study of only Jesus. Everyone say, only Jesus. Only Jesus. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing. Hallelujah. So we thank God again. We look at the first part and we saw that only Jesus is our shepherd, is our shepherd. And today we are looking at only Jesus can give you a fresh start. Only Jesus can give you a fresh start. Now, I mean, if you've done life for any period of time, long enough, if you are not a toddler, even toddlers, you know, if you are sitting down here, I'm sure that you have thought to yourself, only if I can have a fresh start. You know, I've been actually painting a room before, you know, I mean, you know, you have to DIY so many things. I've been painting a hall actually before, and by the time I looked at what I've done, I was like, I wish I could start again. It could be in your career. You may have gone in a particular direction and you are like, I wish I can have a fresh start. I wish I can start over. Some of us, it's in our parenting, you know. So you had a couple of children, then you're like, if I knew what I knew now when I was raising this boy, you know, I wish I could start again. You know, some things we can't start again. Some things we may not be able to start again. But we have a God that can give us a fresh start, regardless of the area of our lives. Some people, it's in the marriage, and you're like, oh, I wish I could start again. If I knew what I know now, I probably would not marry her or marry him. Or, you know, if I knew what I know now, I wish I can start even this journey with God again. I wish I can start over. And the list goes on and on. And if we are honest, there are areas that we sincerely desire a fresh start. Like I was saying, even a toddler, you know, that has broken his toy is wishing I can start again, you know, so that I will have my toy intact. The beauty of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gives us a fresh start. Hallelujah. And you see, if you think about it, that is what makes it possible to be a child of God, because God gave us a fresh start. If a man is in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. Now, the interesting thing about life is that life is not a straight line. So, because life is not a straight line, intermittently, even in your walk with God, you desire a fresh start. And guess what? Jesus's fresh start is not once and for all. Jesus gives us a fresh start consistently. In fact, walking with Jesus is all about coming alive and starting afresh. It's all about coming alive and starting afresh. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It says, a clean slate and a fresh start come from where? Come from God, by way of Jesus Christ. It comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. So it is not the same old. If your walk with God is stale, God is not leading you in dynamism. You need to embrace his offer today, that he wants to give you a fresh start. Romans chapter 6 verse 4. Romans 6 4. The word of God says that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the power of the Father, we can also live a new life. So the same way Christ was raised from the dead, we can also live a new life. In fact, what separates walking with God or being a child of God from any other kind of faith is this concept of freshness, this concept of newness. In fact, the mercy of God to us are new how often? Every morning. Some people have had God's mercy in January at the crossover service, and that's all they've got. You see, listen, God is saying to you, they are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. So the steadfast love of the Lord does not cease, does not expire. His mercies never comes to an end. You can't outlast God's mercy. They are new how often? Every morning. Is today a new morning? Is it different from yesterday's morning? Guess what? You have new mercy. And that is the message for you this morning, that Jesus has come to give you a fresh start. He's come to give you a fresh start. If you look at your life and you're like, I need a fresh start in this area, I need a fresh start in that area, I need a fresh start in this area, I need a fresh start in the whole life. I wish I can become a baby again, you know, and just have no care in the world, and all I need to do is just say wah wah, and then something delicious comes into my mouth. You know, and I can just start again. You see, the problem with our concept of starting again is that it's going to the beginning. That is not Jesus' concept necessarily. So, the God's concept is of starting again is giving you a fresh start so that you can make progress. You know, so when you go back to the beginning to be a baby, you are going back to the beginning, you know. But God's fresh start is that from where you are, it renews everything. It renews everything. In fact, your organs can be as fresh as that of a baby, but you keep making progress in life. Hallelujah. Luke 5:32. This is Jesus speaking. Luke 5:32. He says, I am here inviting outsiders, not insiders, an invitation to a changed life. So what he's saying here is that if you think you can see, if you think you are well, if you think you are healthy, then you don't need a physician. You don't need a doctor. He says, I have come for people that need help. I need help. I need help. I need help. Do you need help this morning? He says, I have come for people that need help. So Jesus is offering you a fresh start this morning. Now the question is, what happens when I get a fresh start from Jesus? What happens when Jesus gives me a fresh start? The first thing that happens when Jesus gives me a fresh start is that I get new clarity about life. I get new clarity about life. I see life in a fresh way. I see life in a more beautiful way. I get new clarity about life. In fact, you start seeing life differently. You start seeing even problems differently. When God gives you a fresh perspective, you start seeing even God differently. You know, for some of us, we have not seen God as our Father that is there for us. Listen, because of your fresh start, your perspective of God will change. You will see God as you ought to see God in the name of Jesus. Because of your fresh start, you begin to see even the people you are doing life differently. You begin to see your spouse differently. You begin to see your children differently. You begin to see them as God sees them. John 8:12. John 8:12. It says, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus speaking. I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness. For living light will flood your path. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through darkness. So does it appear that you're stumbling around, bumping into things? You're not sure where you're really going. God will give you light in the name of Jesus. God will give you direction in the name of Jesus. God will give you illumination in the name of Jesus. Every area that you are struggling with because of the fresh start that God is bringing your way, everything becomes new in the name of Jesus. Everything becomes new. In fact, one of the beauty of this clarity is that you are seeing clearly even when every other person cannot see clearly. It could be at work. It could be in your business. Your competitors are confused. The economic indicators are not adding up. But you can see clearly. It could be, like I said, at work. Your colleagues are, you know, things are gloomy for them, for everybody around you. But you can see clearly. The light of God will arise upon you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The beauty of God will shine on your path in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, if you've been around for a while, you remember the Gulf War, you know, the war between the US and Iraq. And there was a lot of banter before the war. The president of Iraq at the time boasted that this would be the mother of all wars, you know, but it was done and dusted in a few days, actually. One of the game changers in that war was the night vision of the US military. So the US military had a night vision. They could walk at night while their adversaries are sleeping, and even when they are awake, they can't see far. But the night vision, the US Army made this statement that if you can see clearly in the dark, when your enemy is confused, you are going to win every time. That's what they said. You're going to win every time. So they enter a room, the whole place is dark. But with the night goggles, you can see everybody. You can see their heat map, even those in the other room. You can see through the wall because of the human body emits radiation and heat, right? So they can actually shoot through walls and hit their target. I'm praying that in your career you will have night vision in the name of Jesus. In your business, you will have night vision. In your marriage, you will have night vision. In your life, you will have night vision. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. 1 Corinthians 14, 33a. It says, God is not a God of confusion. God, the God we serve, is not a God of confusion. God doesn't deal in chaos. You see, if there's a part of your life that is chaotic right now, you need to invite God into it. You need to bring God into it. The chaos is proof that God is absent. Think about it. If your finances is chaotic, you need to bring God into it. If your health is chaotic, you need to bring God into it. If your career is chaotic right now, you need to bring God into it. You need to bring God into it. Because God is the God of order. He's not the author of confusion. So the farther you are away from God, the more confused you are going to be. In fact, your confusion barometer, if there's anything like that, your level of confusion is actually an indicator to your level of furtherance, so how far you are from God. The farther you are from God, the more confused you're going to be. Should I take this course? Should I not take this course? Will I pass this exam? Will I not pass this exam? Should I immigrate? Should I not immigrate? Should I immigrate to Japan or should I immigrate to Kuwait? Or is it to Iraq? Or is it to... Has God called everybody to immigrate? It's a question you have to answer for yourself. Because if you think that you must immigrate because everybody else is immigrating, or because greener pastures, you may be asking for confusion. I'm praying that heaven will give you clarity in the name of Jesus, that heaven will give you clarity. Matthew 5:8, it says, when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right, then you can see God in the outside world. So when you get your inside world sorted out, your outside world becomes clearer. So if the outside world is confused, if you can't see God in the outside world, it's a pointer to the fact that inside world is chaotic. And I pray that you embrace God's invitation this morning in the name of Jesus. Since your heart and your mind determine what you see, really not your eyes. You know, we've explained that before, that it is actually been proven that because of the signal directions, that it is actually the mind that is telling the eyes what to see. I mean, that's amazing. You know, that's amazing. Yes, you are getting signals from the eyes, but it is actually the mind. That's why two people can look at the same thing and interpret things differently. Even auditory-wise, that's why two people can hear the same message and interpret it differently. So people can hear this kind of message and get delivered, receive the word of God, get clarity, get direction. Some people can hear this same message and say, oh, pastor is talking about me. Oh, why is he talking about me? Oh, I'm so upset. You know, and they are upset. The same word. Listen, pastor is talking about you. He doesn't even know you. Well, I know you, but I really don't know you. The point is that it is the mind, this internal state. And when we are talking about clarity, we are not necessarily saying that you have everything covered. You have all the answers in the world. Not necessarily. Not necessarily, because it's possible that you just have clarity for what to do next. In fact, you don't need to have all your answers to your questions before you can trust God for the next step. You don't need to have all the answers before you can be confident that you have clarity from God. John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3, 36 says, whoever accepts and trusts God's Son gets in on everything. So you see that. So many times people want to get in on everything before they accept God's proposal. God says, accept and trust me. Then you get in on everything. Life completes and forever. But the person who avoids and distrusts God's Son is in the dark and doesn't see life. Doesn't see life. So the first thing that happens is that I get clarity. I get clarity. The next thing that happens is this. When Jesus gives me a fresh start, I don't only get clarity, I get confidence. I get a new confidence about my future. I get a new confidence about my future. Once you embrace the newness that God is bringing your way, all of a sudden there's a spring to your step. All of a sudden you have fresh confidence about your future. You see, the challenge many times is that we base our confidence on strange things. So some people base their confidence on their achievements, So when, and it's okay to put up your plaques and your certificates and those things in your office if it makes you feel good, it's okay. But you see, when that is the source of your confidence, it's a problem. When you think you're in a phase when you are not achieving, so you don't have confidence. Oh, maybe you're in a season of your life and it's as if things are not moving as far as achievements are concerned. Then you feel deflated. Then you are taking it on your spouse. You're taking it on people that are doing life with you. Why? Because your lack of confidence is affecting everything. So When you base your confidence on your achievement, you look to the work of your hands. You look to the things you have accomplished. And that is a big mistake, because life is not a straight line. You may think that you are having a dip as far as accomplishment is concerned, but guess what? In heaven's pipeline, you are actually achieving greatness. For instance, when a seed is in the ground, the seed thinks, oh, what's going on? I'm just here in the dark. Nothing is happening. Is somebody pouring water on me? I mean, what's going on? Oh, they are pouring water on me again. Oh, this place feels so cold. Oh, and it's so dark. But the seed is actually achieving germination. So in heaven's view, even though that seed is planted, it is not buried. It is achieving. But if the seed judges its life by the fact that, oh, I'm just in the ground, you know, nothing is going on, the seed will lack confidence. You see that? But if the seed is rooted in its purpose in God, even though the seed is in the ground, the seed has confidence. It has confidence. So if the plant is only confident when it sprouts and it's flowering and it's, you know, fruiting, the plant will have a problem in most of its life cycle. At least the majority of the significant or the other significant part of its life cycle. So achievements are great, but achievements cannot be the source of your confidence. They can't. Some base their confidence on acquisition. So sometimes it's on achievements, sometimes it's on acquisitions, sometimes it's in the combination of achievements and acquisitions. So because you have a new car, you come early to church, you're excited. What of when you don't have a new car? What happens? Your confidence goes down. You have acquired a new house. You have acquired this stock or that crypto. You have acquired some finances. You raise your shoulder and you bounce to church. Praise God. But when it appears that you are not acquiring, what happens to your confidence? What happens to your confidence? It shows your confidence is on the wrong thing. Your confidence is on the wrong thing. If your confidence is on your acquisition. And you know, some people base their confidence erroneously, not necessarily on achievement or acquisition, on appearance. They base their confidence on appearance. Oh, if I wear a Rolex watch, if they wear a Rolex watch, if their belt is, you know, and their shoe is Louis Vuitton, and, you know, there's a way they walk, you know, they you know, just stride into the room, you know. And it's okay to be confident, right? But my point is, can you walk confidently if you are not wearing a Rolex watch? Are you confident if you are not wearing a designer dress? Are you confident? Confident. Is it your appearance that boosts your confidence? You know, some ladies can't even come out of their houses without wearing makeup. Did you know that? I mean, that is serious stuff. Serious stuff right there that is going on with them. It has nothing to do with the past, with the makeup. It has everything to do with their souls. So if you can't step out of your house without makeup. It means there's something fundamentally going on in your soul. You are lacking your connection to your source. And it is robbing you of your confidence. If you realize that when you are sleeping, you are slaying. When you wake up, you are smashing. If there's anyone like that. Because you are fearfully, you are wonderfully made. When they made you, there was no makeup. And you were beautiful. Who has told you you are not beautiful? You're like, oh, Pastor, I'm not that beautiful. Who told you that? That's a lie. It's a lie. And imagine how that makes God's heart feel. You are confident in God, not your achievement, not your acquisitions, not your appearance. So what happens if you're not wearing that designer belt? What happens if you're not carrying that designer bag? I was speaking to someone recently, and she was saying the things that ladies do for a bag. And I was like, for a bag? You did that for a bag? She said, yes, you carried the bag. Those things, again, nothing wrong with having a nice bag. That's not the issue. Nothing wrong with having a nice car. That's not the issue. Nothing wrong with achieving, in fact, God wants you to achieve. Nothing wrong with appearance. God wants you to look fresh and soft. Nothing wrong with acquisition in themselves. But if they are the source of your confidence, something is wrong. Something is wrong with your soul. You need a fresh start in God. Those are indicators that you need a fresh start with God. Let God be your confidence. Let God be your confidence. The Bible tells us at least about 20 things that bring confidence in God. So we just look at a few. Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, something. That brings confidence in God. Just to tool you with them. Just to equip you with them. The first thing that brings confidence in God is that God offers to forgive everything I have ever done wrong. Boom! Oof! God offers to forgive everything that I have done wrong. It's a confidence booster. It's a confidence booster when God promises or offers rather to forgive everything I have done wrong. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who belong to God. The greatest destroyer of confidence is guilt and shame. And that's what the enemy does to people. He guilts them. He makes you feel guilty. He tries to shame you. Says, look at you. Oh, they demoted you. Oh, they did this to you. Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. No. There's no shame in God. There's no shame in God. Everywhere God has placed you is strategic. Remember that seed that is on the ground. The seed went into the ground. It's strategic. It's strategic. You say, oh, why did they move you from the front? Why did they put you to the back? Oh, I'm just ashamed. I don't want to come to church anymore. Listen. Don't listen to the voice of guilt and shame. Listen to the voice of grace and glory. God is upon you. Everything God is doing in your life is strategic. Everybody says strategic. It's strategic. Everything that God is doing in your life. So the confidence that God offers to forgive everything I've ever done wrong is big. It's big. It's big. Another confidence booster, if you will, in God is that I can trust God to work out the details of my life. You see, because life can get very complicated and very detailed and very overwhelming. But the fact that I can step back and trust God to work out the details of my life brings confidence. So when other people are confused about the details of their lives, you know that all is going to be well. Hallelujah. When you think it all depends on you, you get stressed. You are stressed out. When you think it all depends on you, you are just stressed out. And also number three, if I know that God will give me strength for whatever I face, it's also is a big confidence booster. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. I am ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. I can do all things. When I know that God will give me strength to overcome whatever I face, it's a confidence booster. Big confidence booster. You know why you are tired all the time? You are tired because you are running on your own strength. You are running on your own strength. You need to exchange your strength for his strength. Another confidence booster in God is that I know that I have a home in heaven. I know that God has a purpose for my life here on earth, and I have a home in heaven. 1 Peter 1:3-4. It says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts now. It starts now. It's a confidence booster. So what we are saying, as we all have known in God's Favorite House, if you are new in God's Favorite House, you are probably hearing this for the first time, and it is past forgiving, it is purpose for living, it is home in heaven, and Jesus is alive. Everyone, let's say that again. Past forgiving, purpose for living, home in heaven, Jesus is alive. Again, past forgiving, purpose for living, home in heaven, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. So what happens when God gives me a fresh start? I get new clarity. I get new confidence. Clarity, confidence. And finally, number three, I get a new connection with God. I get new clarity, I get new confidence, and I get a new connection with God. Romans 5:11. The Word of God says that now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. Friendship is about connections. It's about connections. So we have a fresh connection with God. Now, if I were to ask you, why are you alive today? Because again, we've said this already, if you are a believer, you're a Christian, the best time for you to go to heaven is the time you give your life to Jesus. If sin was the most important issue to God, as far as your existence is, because the time that we are sure that you are sinless is when you come and accept Jesus. Then when we have a God really good service, I will make an altar call. In any service, I will make an altar call. And people respond. As they are raising their hand, boom, they are just going. In fact, I will not be there to be making the call. Because I would have gone some 25 years or so ago, you know, if there to be angels that are preaching. So why are you alive? You see, why you are alive is crucial. It's crucial. You need to know why you're alive. While there may be several purposes and reasons, I'm putting it forward to you today that the greatest reason you're alive, are you ready for this? The greatest reason you're alive is because God wants to love you. Hallelujah. You were made so God could love you. You were made, you're alive because God wants to love you on this side of eternity. God says, I want friendship. I want relationship, not religion. God is not interested in religion. I want to love you. Colossians 3:11 says, in this new life, one's nationality or race or education or social position is not important. Such things mean nothing. Whether a person has Christ is what matters and is equally available. Everybody say equally available. It's equally available to all. To all. Hallelujah. Psalm 34 verse 8. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to Him. Are you going to run to Him today for a fresh start? Are you going to come to Him today for a fresh start? God wants to give you a fresh start. Lamentations 5:21 says to us that bring us back to you, God. Bring us back to you, God. We are ready to come back. Give us a fresh start. My brother, God wants to give you a fresh start. My sister, God wants to give you a fresh start. He wants to give you a new clarity about life. He wants to give you a new confidence about life. He wants to give you a new connection to Him, to God. So I want to pray with you today if you're like, Pastor, can you pray with me? Can you pray with me? Yes, I want to pray with you. I want a fresh start. I want a fresh start. Wherever you are, God wants to give you a fresh start. If you can take this step, you'll be amazed at the light that will flood into your life. You're like, Pastor, I have never given my life to Jesus. We're going to pray with you in a moment. The Holy Spirit is going to come and pray with you. Then also, if you're like, Pastor, I am a child of God, but I also need a fresh start. We also want to pray with you. So those two categories. So we take the first one first. Pastor, I have no relationship with God. I want to come to God. Can you pray with me? Yes, we want to pray with you. Turn it over to the RP.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for everyone that is surrendering to you here and online this morning. Father, we ask that you will come into their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, that their lives will be changed for good. Set their hearts on fire for you, my Father. Let that connection be established, that they will continue to walk and grow in you in the name of Jesus. Father, we are grateful for what you have done. For yes, your word says, no man can come unless you call. Thank you for calling these ones. May your name forever be glorified in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So while we're still praying, while we're still in the mood of prayer, the second call, in your heart you will know. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. And if you have a fractured relationship with Jesus, if you are struggling with your relationship with Jesus, or if you have backslidden completely, today is a good day. Today is a good day to reconcile that relationship. So I want us to just begin to talk to God. Speak to God in your own words. Ask that the Holy Spirit will set your heart on fire for Him afresh in the name of Jesus. Even as the choir helps us for a short while with the song. Because the sinless
Savior died.
Begin to pray. Speak to the Lord. Masi kata lati kiti libu zata yele kiri bala yada bate. Yere bala kanda libu sayata yele kiti libu sayele. Nere kiri bala yata kaya la bala yada bala yada la kata yede bu. Ali kita ri bala yede bu de. Spirit of the living God, we ask that you breathe upon your people. The name of Jesus for everyone that is turning back to you. Set their hearts on fire for you. Kantale bala yala bala yebube. Dere bozo kuta yala kanda bala yebube. Ande kete lete ta yala kala bala yebuzo ta yeta ye.
Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For blood that justice satisfied, to look on Him
thank you for everyone that's rededicating their lives to you. Lord, we ask that you will strengthen them. Father, we ask that you will set their hearts on fire for you again. Lord, we ask that because you have given them a fresh start, they will begin to see as they ought to see. Father, their ears will be open to hear you clearly. And you will give them an understanding like never before. Lord, we ask that the experiences that they've had when the relationship was fractured, they will use it for your glory. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord.